Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lesbian Mommies Radio. I'm your host, Elizabeth Kaliva. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know in the last show I said you probably wouldn't hear from me in a while, but I had an opportunity show up that I could not pass by or pass up. I got contacted by the PR rep of a local lesbian couple, Danielle Lopresti and Alicia Chapman, that made an awesome new lesbian family-themed holiday music video. I saw Santa. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. So cute. And hold on, I think I might have them on the line right here.
They're right here.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, is this Danielle and Alicia?
Hi, this is Danielle, and Alicia is going to be here in 2 seconds.
Hi, I'm right here too. Hello.
Awesome. Hi, how are you?
We're great. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being on. I was just kind of starting the show off by mentioning that we have you on the show to talk about your new music video, which is so cute, you two. Thank you for doing that. It was much needed. You know, it's funny. You don't really, it's like we're so caught up in a straight world that I never even thought about that we don't have lesbian family themed music videos. So when I saw it, I was like, this is amazing.
Totally.
Yeah. So why don't you, go ahead.
Are we live on the air right now?
We're recording it. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
This is a recording. Uh-huh.
Lovely. So much. I'm so sorry. Can we get your names? I just realized we don't know who is speaking.
Yeah.
We know the show, but we would love to know your names.
I'm Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, awesome.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One of you?
There's just one of me. Yep, just me.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Lovely. Okay, okay. Okay, great. Yes. We just dialed in right at 10 o'clock, and then I got I heard your voice and realized, oh, it sounds like the show is already rolling. And so we're just kind of jumping in and didn't really know what was going on. But okay, lovely. Elizabeth, thank you so much. And it was really exciting to do this. And we were inspired to do it because a year ago, that video came out, I don't know if you saw it, of Idina Menzel and Michael Bublé. They did Baby, It's Cold Outside, and the music video featured, you know, like a young boy and a young girl who were supposed to be, you know, younger versions of the two of them doing this cute little Christmas rendition. And Lucian, our son, you know, was enjoying watching that. And I thought, as that was going on, I was thinking, oh, okay, after this video is done, we should try to find a Christmas video that includes a child of color. And then I thought, why don't I try to search for a video that has a same-sex family? And we looked and couldn't find a single one, home videos notwithstanding, of course. And so we thought, gosh, since we know some people, since we've got access to make something, maybe we should try and then do something original for the holidays. And so that's how it came about.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's really awesome. And is this Danielle talking? Are you the one with the accent?
No, this is me, Alicia.
Alicia. Alicia has the accent. Okay.
Yes, I was going to tell you that, but she jumped in so fast I didn't have a chance. Apologies.
Nice. So give everyone a little bit of a taste of who you are.
Danielle, why don't you go ahead?
Danielle Lopresti here. I'm the front woman for Danielle Lopresti and the Masses. I created with my spouse, Alicia Champion, the San Diego Indie Fest, which is a music, arts, and activism festival that we started over a decade ago that celebrates independent, indie or independent music and business and just wonderful cutting-edge things that often go unnoticed and under-supported because they're smaller. They're not supported by major corporate funding, and so many people miss them. And so that is a big part of our passion, is just turning people on to amazing ideas that can invigorate their communities and give them a sense of empowerment and a sense of purpose get people working together and so on and so forth. That really just started to become a big passion for me personally after I spent a few years in L.A. in trying to get a major label record deal and finally came to the realization that it wasn't for me. Because they kept telling me that they wanted to sign me, but that I needed to water down what I sang about, what I wrote about, that pretty much I had to, because I was a woman, it was explained to me over and over again, because I am female, that I need to write about sex and relationships and, you know, write sexy music that people, you know,
wow,
want to buy and want to listen to. It was so overt. It was just out of control. And I
wow,
just, you know, and I would say, you know, they would say, why are you so angry? And I would say, I'm not angry. I'm passionate. I have a sense
right
of conviction. I don't care to slither on the floor, you know, unless I'm trying to pick someone up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I don't mean that in a dating sense. And I care to write about racism, and I care to write about homophobia, and I care to write about, you know, what I see in the world. That's, you know, music is my therapy, and it's my way of handling a really painful, beautiful world. And I said, you know, there are women who express things other than sex on, you know, in their music. And I pointed to Alanis Morissette at the time because she was huge. And they, you know, said, well, yeah, but she's angry about a guy, about a boyfriend. You know, it's still marketable because it is relationships, you know.
Mm.
And so I decided to start my own record label and release my own first full-length CD, which I entitled Dear Mr. Penishead, as a thank you note to one of the music attorneys who took a really long time explaining to me exactly how sexy I had to be if I wanted to make it in the major label industry. And I started my own record label called Say It Records. And shortly thereafter, I had the good fortune of meeting Alicia Champion, who was fresh out of Berklee College of Music. And I was so moved by just her excitement, her energy, her skill level, her talent, her determination, and the two of us started producing events together, and we created San Diego Indie Fest, and then eventually we created a family, and here we are.
Amazing. I can't believe the experience you had with the record labels. Like, just hearing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was really
like,
juicy.
Really? That's so sad.
And that was long before Danielle discovered that she was queer, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, we've come so far in such a small, such a short period of time. I mean, back in, you know, 99, 2000, when Danielle was being courted by these labels, I mean, there weren't very many out artists at the time. I mean, you could count them. It was like, you know, your Melissa and your Katie Lang, and you know, I think that's
Indigo
about
Girls.
In Indigo Girls, but that was, I mean, Ani DeFranco was kind of just breaking onto, you know, the major scene at the time, you know, as, you know, even for an indie. So I can't imagine what kind of backlash Danielle would have gotten if she was involved with a woman too, but that's neither here nor there. You know, we're just grateful that we've reached the level of progress that we are at now to allow a video like this to be received by, you know, by queer and straight communities alike.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was doing some research on you guys, our new ladies, I could tell that activism in music was a really big part of what you did, and I loved the You Got Time video you did, the Orange is the New Black theme song, which was in support of Prop 47 for those of you that live in California, which is all about reducing sentencing for nonviolent drug and petty theft from a felony to a misdemeanor, which is a big deal, which is a really big deal, and thankfully that passed, but amazing video that you guys put out on that. And I saw the other one you did just earlier this year about the police violence against people of color.
Black Lives Matter, yeah.
Yeah, like just phenomenal stuff. So it's amazing how just how outspoken you are. I have a ton of respect for that, because, I mean, like you said, you gave up on a big label. It's almost like you didn't sell out, you know what I mean? Which
Thank
is so
you.
Commendable. So I was wondering if this video, if there was a part of it that was a little bit of a political stance as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're really getting it that sometimes the most powerful activism we can do is being ourselves, literally just
wow.
being ourselves. You know, we have on our, we actually live, we have the good fortune of living in the most diverse neighborhood in the entire country. We live in a place called City Heights in San Diego. It is crazy diverse and awesome. It's beautiful. And on our block, there are some very, very strict Christians. They're Christian missionaries. And we have become very good friends with them. Very good friends
wow.
with them. And yeah, and it's like, it's a big deal. And I have so much excitement about them coming over to our house, which they've done a lot, and seeing for themselves that we are a family like everybody else is, and that
yeah.
we're a beautiful family, and that we have the same struggles with our kiddo, and we have the same triumphs and the same frustrations and joys. And, you know, I feel like so much coming together, building bridges happens outside of the protest rally, you know, just different kinds of people becoming friends. And then their differences are just, you know, just one more characteristic about them. You know, you meet in a yoga class and you become friends. And then later on, you find out all the details of that person's life, let's say. You know, I doing this and exposing our private life, and, you know, we've never done something like this with our son. It was, you know, a nod to that, what we have learned about how powerful it is to just be willing to be ourselves, you know, around people who may not know what that really looks like, you know, to be our own unique family, an adoptive family, an interracial family, a same-sex family.
Yeah, no, opposite. I mean, beautiful, really, like living out loud, like the power of that for change. We all own who we are, and we live our truth. And yeah, it really allows you to, when you do build those bridges, we do all see that we're all more alike than we are different.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah,
really
it's powerful.
Beautiful.
It really is. Yeah,
it is. So talk a little bit about your son. You got him through the foster adopt program, right?
Yes. Yes,
yeah, talk a little bit about that. I've done another show about the foster adopt route for getting, not, you know, like, I don't want to say getting kids, but building a family.
Building families in alternative ways. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So our journey to find our son was 7 years long, and it was the most painful period of my whole entire life, more painful than cancer even was. We just had a lot of failed adoptions and failed attempts, and you know, we tried domestic, we tried international, we came back to domestic. We had a really hard time. But finally, and this was actually what I decided to do, was kind of become an advocate for us in kind of the ways I have been an advocate for other causes. And I started challenging the system a little bit, and I asked, you know, to see the person who was the most high up, the most senior person at San Diego County that I could, and I sat down with him, and I told him our story and how we had been treated, and I cried, and I just told him we need an excellent social worker, someone wonderful, and I know you've got a lot of them. I need you to assign someone fantastic to us that's going to treat us like a person and really care. And he did. And everything changed after that. We started moving more quickly. We found a support group where I went and just asked them to tell me positive stories. And I was so raw at that point, and I just said, I need positive stories, because all I have are negative stories in my head. And these women just surrounded us in love, enveloped us in love. And I started filling my head with positive stories, and one thing led to another, and before you know it, Lucian's birth mother chose us, which was also the most remarkable thing ever, because she is a woman of color. And her boyfriend is too. And you know, we know that there's been a historic, you know, not always, but oftentimes people, you know, there can be a disconnect there between same-sex couples and also some people of color. But she didn't let that stop her at all. Alicia, did you want to interject something?
Well, I mean, you were talking, I think, especially around Proposition 8, you know,
right.
When we saw that over 70% of the black vote voted yes on 8, you know. And so the fact that this, you know, African-American couple chose a same-sex couple, you know, not too long after Prop 8, was really moving for us, you know.
Yeah, so our world just completely changed. And it really like saved my life. I just have to say, I felt like I was dying of grief at that point. And we had him from day one. We opened for Margaret Cho at San Diego Pride, got off stage,
nice.
Took a shower, and drove to the hospital. And it was amazing. And it was Margaret Cho, right, Leish?
Margaret Cho, 2011, yeah.
Yeah. And then I actually was able to breastfeed, which was amazing. I'd never been pregnant and found out that there are adoptive mothers who have been able to breastfeed, and I was able to. I took
Excellent.
Herbal supplements and acupuncture, and it was incredible. And then I found out about a year and a half. Was it not quite a year and a half, Alicia?
It was 18 months. Huh?
18 months into Lucian's life that I had cancer, a very, very rare, fast-growing cancer in 7 places in my body.
Wow.
And it was absolutely terrifying. It was almost like I had it. Just all that grief, it feels like it came, you know, I don't want to say too much about it. It was awful. And I just could not, I just couldn't go out like that. I mean, finally we were moms, and it was a big time, to say the least. And it was while I was in chemotherapy at a yoga class that I first heard about your website. And it was, I believe, a friend of yours, Elizabeth, that came up. I had to leave the class because I was too weak and I was coughing and I didn't want to disturb everyone. And I went and spoke to the woman at the desk, and she told me about your guys's.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Kim.
Yeah, about what
Kim.
You were doing. She was so sweet. Kim?
Is that her name? Kim, dark hair?
Yeah.
It was that pilgrimage of the heart.
Yeah. She told me about you. Yeah, and we were going to try to get together, and then it was during chemo, and it was a really intense time. We were also putting on an Indie Fest at the time, and so it was crazy, but we beat that cancer, and so we're just so lucky. We have such a crazy, crazy road that we've traveled, and so what you see on the video, like, you know, constantly trying to have a little intimate time, but being interrupted every single moment, but yet being so in love with him that we can never be mad. That is our life. I mean, when you have to work that hard to become parents, it's really, really difficult to forget how lucky you are to be parents. And that's really kind of the theme of our family to me.
What a beautiful story. And I just, there's just a couple of things I wanted to say to that, because I wanted to ask a question of the failed adoptions for 7 years. I mean, first of all, I know the struggle just trying to get pregnant. It took me 2.5 years, or almost 2.5 years pregnant, which is such a struggle, and it's such a strain on the relationship. And so for 7 years of having all these failed adoptions, and it sounds like it had to do with homophobia? Was that a lot of what was going on as far as you guys not moving through the process fast?
It was a little bit. I mean, you know, Danielle actually started this process quite early into our relationship. We had only, you know, only been dating for a few months. And so she started this process as a single mother. Because, you know, it was just too early to know if she and I were going to be, you know, serious for the long haul at that time. you know, went to San Diego County, who had a very different process at the time. This is, you know, well over 10 years ago now, and was shut down, you know, long story short, was shut down pretty quickly for reasons that are just ludicrous. And so she thought she would try internationally. And, you know, tried in Uganda and tried in then Eastern Europe after Uganda fell through, tried in Eastern Europe. And at that point, I had already hopped on board because this is a good year now after we'd been together. And a few other international attempts, Mexico also. But every international attempt, there was a degree of homophobia because these were countries that would not recognize us as a couple. And so Danielle was, you know, we had to submit our applications, our home study packages, with her as a single mother, you know, in a lot of these processes, I was almost irrelevant on paper. You know, I couldn't submit my financial contributions. We had a housemate that we were living with at the time, a very good friend, a man, and, you know, in the home study, I had to pretend like I was his partner, you know, to justify my presence in the home. So it was definitely
incredible.
Challenging, you know. It was so when those opportunities fell through and we decided to go back to San Diego County, this was the first time that we actually had the opportunity to apply as you know, as a couple, as a domestic partnership. We weren't, you know, legally married then because it was during this Prop 8 legal process, all the appeals and everything. But you know, but California is, you know, even before you know, marriage equality was passed, California had always been very progressive and recognized domestic partnerships almost as equally as married couples. So we went through it together for the first time, you know, 7 years after Danielle started that process, and we were able to go through it quicker than most. It was really, really astounding, I think, how fast we went through that process. I mean, we were matched with our son the very first time our home study went out, and it was a voluntary relinquishment, you know, which is also something that is very, very rare. You know, a lot of the cases through the county are rescue cases, you know, for a child that's being neglected or abused. So the fact that this was a healthy relinquishment for a child that had not yet been born, you know, a pregnant birth mother coming to the county was, and the fact that also it was also the first time our home study went out, it was really, blessed is just, doesn't even begin to cover how we felt at the time. And it put all that struggle, those 7 years, all that pain, that loss, that grief. I mean, it really, I mean, we say to each other now that if we had to do it all over again, we would, because the gift of Lucian has been immeasurable.
I bet. After that, seriously. What a journey. Yeah, and I've done shows about adoption and the foster adopt process, and I had heard that international is really hard as a same-sex couple. So, yeah, what a struggle to go through that. And then the foster adopt, I didn't even know that the voluntary relinquishment of like of an unborn child, I actually didn't even think about that, because usually, mm-hmm. like you said, it's usually a rescue situation. So, yeah, it was just like it was meant to be, huh?
Yes, so much. I mean, he even looks like the two of us made him. He looks like a combination of the two of our features. He's just our guy. It's just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gorgeous.
Thank you.
So now,
we think so.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about with this video is, you know, we're seeing more and more representation of same-sex families, multiracial families, and in the media, right? TV shows, movies. I had a woman on the show that did a children's book that was for having two mommies. And so the more and more of this is coming up. And so I think it's just such perfect timing, your video. And I think it's going to be huge. I mean, it already has over 20,000 or 25,000 views or something. And it just came out. That's phenomenal. I was wondering.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I think we just broke 32 last night.
You did. Yeah, so it's fast. Because I was just looking at it a couple of days ago. So it's obviously blowing up, which is phenomenal. But curious if you ladies see yourself doing any other videos like this. I mean, you're both musicians. You have the band. Obviously, a huge passion for music with Indie Fest and everything that you're doing. So just curious if you see yourself kind of continuing on this path of this sort of like lesbian themed or gay themed videos.
Danielle?
I mean, yes. I mean, it just depends on, you know, financing, really. I mean, it's not a cheap art project for sure.
True.
You know, you can tell probably by the way it's shot and also the pictures that follow. That, you know, there was a huge group of people there that came together to make it look the way it looks and feel the way it feels and sound the way it sounds, although Alicia did all the sound. But it's something that we would, love to do. I mean, we've done other gay-themed videos. We have a music video called No More, No Less that's a live video from an Indie Fest. Which Indie Fest was that, Alicia?
That was Indie Fest 6.
I was going to guess right. Indie Fest 6. Alicia put that together. It's a combination of what people saw on the jumbo screen behind us as well as our live performance. And I'm really partial to that one. I think it's really moving. It's called No More, No Less. And we've got lots of other music videos, most with activist themes. But this could be a lovely transition for us in terms of, you know, showing family life in a musical context with, you know, that goal, that underlying current of opening minds and building bridges. I mean, that's really what we're all about. So I would love to do that. It would be really fun, you know, to kind of continue on this trajectory, make it something that we do repeatedly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really good timing. Like you said, we have, you know, the whole gay marriage thing was like one step, and now the acceptance of gay families and same-sex families is, you know, there's some resistance coming. You know, you hear the news articles about, oh, it's come out that it's, you know, not as good for the kid, and then there's other articles that come out. They say, of course, it's just as fine. You know, it's just as good for the kids. So there's a little bit of a debate going on in that one. It's, you know, a little bit, but a pretty significant debate. So I think like more and more of the same-sex family themed media we'll probably start seeing more of, and I think it's really important to get it out there, and it's really important for our kids to see that in media, you know. And I'm
so
thought about that with Lucian, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this really was Alicia's baby. I mean, she is the one who first had this idea, and she worked so hard on this. I mean, I you know, the whole time, you know, Lucian was primary in her mind and mine as well. It really is. I mean, if you think about just like our whole global climate right now, I feel like what we need so much of over and over and over again is tolerance and appreciation, right, for each other's differences. Not just tolerance, but appreciation, you know, the ways we differ. You know, it's just, it's, you know, when you have the opportunity to have a little one and you try to explain things in really simple terms, you realize how true it is for grown-ups too. It's just, you know, a rainbow with one color is no fun at all. Period. You know, these are the ways that we differ, and this is what adds the color to our world. You know, you can argue forever about what is best for kids, and we all know what's best for kids is for them to be loved and cherished, and for them to receive as much attention and intention as we can possibly give them. You know, it's just this kind of obsession with, you know, trying to see things through our own lenses as opposed to expanding our minds to see things through other people's lenses as well. You know, this xenophobic fear of the other, you know, it's no good, and it creates so much violence, so much discord. So I just think it's, you know, I'm really excited for the video to just keep getting out there so that also people that are opposed to same-sex marriage can see it. It can have a little peek into, you know, what is not a very, really not fictitious at all in terms of what a night is like, you know, a night where we have enough energy to even try to have some time, you know, together and let people see, let people laugh, let people be wooed by how darling our child is or any child is and how, you know, parents are so similar, you know. There's so many similarities between us, even amidst our dramatic differences.
Yep, exactly. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the making of the video. It was gorgeous. Just like gorgeous, very, very high quality. And you said, I mean, in the all the acknowledgments afterwards, like you said earlier, a lot of people came together in the making of the video. So just talk about, I have no idea what it's like to make a music video. So I'm just curious to hear what it was like for you, what it was like for Lucian, because he's one of the stars of the video.
He is the star. He's yeah. Well, we had the absolute pleasure and honor to work with our dear, dear friend, Asher Brown. You'll see he's the first credit, directed by Asher Brown. I met when I was still a teenager. I was 18 years old. He was a mutual friend from one of my close high school friends, and they were at Wesleyan, and I drove from Berklee College of Music in Boston with my band and to play a show at Wesleyan, and that's how I first met Asher. But then we reconnected with him when our band, Daniello Presti and the Masses, were getting ready to shoot our very, very first music video, a song called Objectify off our last record, Run With It. I don't know if you had a chance to watch Objectify on our YouTube channel, but it's definitely very activist in the vein, in our usual vein, a bit more aggressive, and it, you know, talks about the gratuitous objectification and sexualization of women in not just the entertainment industry, you know, at large. And, you know, we were just thrilled with how awesome that video turned out. We had worked with other directors after that, but always, you know, just felt a really nice, beautiful synchronicity with Asher, and especially the crew that he brings. You know, his team he runs a wonderful studio in Los Angeles called Pollution Studios, and they do a lot of stuff in-house. And we love him. We love his vibe, you know, and the people that he brings to his team are just all of the same, you know, philosophy, mindset, very wonderful people, not a lot of ego, you know, I would say virtually no ego, you know, just really easygoing, wonderful people, you know, a good number of them are parents too. So, you know, especially for this project, it's nice working with other parents who know how to relate to kids. Asher's company, Pollution, has a sister company called Magic Beans that works with baby brands. They do a lot of commercials for Bumbo and Costco, and so they work with kids a lot of times doing these commercials. And so it just seemed like a no-brainer, you know, to call Asher, someone that we were fond of, someone who has a great rapport with kids, someone that our son Lucian was fond of, to make this video. For me, there was no other choice. So, you know, we spoke to him after the last Indie Fest. He drove down to support Indie Fest in March, and we had breakfast with him the next morning and shared with him this idea, and he loved it, and we collaborated on the script. I told him, you know, I was thinking of doing something musically that was a departure from our usual rock and roll stuff, which, you know, is, you know, it can be quite aggressive, something that was a little bit softer but still had, you know, our social justice element to it. And, you know, he thought, well, how about we do something that looks a bit like a peek into a Norman Rockwell painting, you know, something that celebrates the American family, only in this case it's our very modern, multiracial, queer, foster-adoptive American family. And we thought that was great, you know, we normalize exactly what who we are, which is, you know, very quote unquote normal, you know, as Danielle said earlier. But it's, you know, it's us. It's this very modern family that, you know, in this very retro throwback setting. And so that was how the concept came about.
Let me interject here. So Alicia drew out sketches.
A storyboard.
So storyboard is sketches of, you know, what she envisioned for each moment of the video, but many moments of the video. And she recorded the song with some amazing musicians in our studio, and put a scratch vocal on it, her vocal on it, and then put, what did you use? Put iMovie to put your sketches to the music so you could show what your vision was?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a storyboard, and then we you know, fine-tuned it from there. It's just all part of the process. You know, I think some people don't realize how many steps go into making, you know, a good video, a good short film. You know, there's from concept to script to storyboard to shot list to, you know, I mean, it's really, there's so much, and it requires a really good, talented team to
right.
to make sure that all the cogs, you know, work together, all
then
the
you,
pieces. Fit.
Right. And then you got to scout the locations and find out, you know, where, when, you know, and decide what your shot list is going to be, when you're shooting what. You know, we had to get a whole team of people to, you know, be our Lucian team, you know, so that we could keep him happy and fed and
because, you know, on a film set there's a lot of hurry up and wait, you know, you gotta get your cast ready, you know, just make sure they're ready in time to shoot, but then sometimes there's delays in setting up the lighting and whatnot, so it was really important that we had, you know, Team Lucian ready and available to just keep him entertained, read him stories, play games during this period, because, you know, he was still 3 when we shot this. He's a really small guy. But you know, it was a big team of people, and we couldn't have done it without them.
Does that give you a little bit of an idea, or did you want to go more?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it was phenomenal. I mean, yeah, you're right. You don't have, as the person watching the video, you don't have any concept of what work it takes and goes into making a video. And even one that's only, you know, 3 to 5 minutes long, I can only imagine a full length film, you know?
Right. Oh yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, in the little, the shots, the screenshots that you were showing at the end of the video as you were doing all the credits, you see the crew, and you can tell that it was a production, you know?
Right. I love how Alicia did that. Sorry?
Yeah. How long did it take to actually do the filming and everything?
The original plan was to just shoot one day, but we couldn't. Actually, Lucian started to feel not well toward the end of that day, and so there were quite a few shots that we couldn't get with him because he just needed to go to sleep. It was just, you know, he was not feeling well, so we had to shoot a second day, which happened several, you know, a few months later. Actually, we tried first to piece together the footage from that first day, see if we could put the video together, but we definitely needed that second day of shooting to get the family montage scenes. So it was 2 days of shooting, and then that's just the video. You know, the audio recording took some time also, you know, to get all the musicians together. So
there's a horn section. There's, you know, Alicia played everything herself first, and then she had, you know, a wonderful bass player, our dear friend Alec Milstein from L.A. He played upright for this, and then we had a whole horn section that Alicia recorded, and just all, you know, just wonderful people coming in to make the recording really beautiful. And then, you know, we eventually put the final version of the song with all these amazing musicians on it to picture, and then of course there was the editing process, and so it took, you know, quite a few months to get it all together.
Nice. Well, it was very well done. When you said Lucian was 3 years old and you shot it, how long ago was that? How long did it take from, like, concept to when he was actually launched?
We shot. The first day we shot was June, early June, and then we did the second shoot in September. Yeah, we shot in June and then took the summer to try to piece together what we did in June, and then, you know, we went through several cuts, and then in September we realized, okay, this is not happening. We need to do the second day of shooting. So. So, and in that time, Lucian turned four. So, we shot in June. Lucian turned four in the summer, and then we had to shoot again. Luckily, he didn't. You know, his look didn't change too much. So, like 6 months.
Yeah. Wow. What a process. And then, did you self fund that? Was it crowdfunded? What did you do for funding for that?
Oh no, we took care of it ourselves.
Well done. Yeah, it's really, really gorgeous.
Thank you. But
highly,
I mean, it's
commendable.
It's largely because, you know, we had these wonderful people working for us who, you know, took enormous pay cuts just to be a part of this project because they adore us and they, you know, hopped on board on the mission for this video too. So there's no way we, you know, I mean, it definitely, it was a heart project by many, and, you know, a lot of people donated their time, Asher Brown, our director, included.
That is true, but I will say, and you will be quiet, please, wifey, that Alicia is incredibly talented, and she
obviously
worked her butt off on this, and she's just so good at audio and video, and she really poured her heart into this. So it is true what she said, but also, you know, when you look at it, you're really seeing the result of Alicia's, you know, skills coming together and all that hard work that she put into it. She really knew what she wanted it to look like, and I'm so proud of her.
Yeah, no.
She doesn't like it when I brag about her. She can brag about me, but she doesn't. You should see her pantomiming. Stop. I'm like, no, I have her.
I
mouth.
Love it.
I'm
no, I mean, because you've talked about everything she's done, like playing all the music, you know, all the
right?
different
oh
I'm assuming,
people
and the storyboarding. I mean, this is, I you know, all, the audiovisual, like, wow. Think about talent.
No, that's how I feel,
one thing
too.
Just to play one
what
instrument
a producer,
is already
what
really
a producer
talented.
Does.
You just what stop, please. We're talking.
Yeah, really amazing. So what's next for you two?
Well, we're working on getting this little holiday EP out next month, which will have this track as well as some other goodies, some other classic favorites, as well as some originals.
It'll just be an EP. It'll be just a few songs.
Yes, yeah, EP. And then we're also working on another record to be released next year called House of D, which is going to be a chill house record by Danielle. And
very cool.
It's, you know, in the vein of like Massive Attack, 07, Thievery Corporation. So,
love that.
Yeah, you know, electronic elements, but not dance EDM, you know. It's more vibey, you know, music that you just want to chill to, really.
Mm-hmm. That's a big change from the Danielle and the Masses sound, yeah?
Yes, I mean, we'll still have our, you know, we'll still have our activism in there. I can't help myself, you know. You know, there's still going to be some big choruses and stuff like that. But I love that music. I've wanted to. I sing it for others, you know, not my own. And we have a few tracks like that on our records. We usually save them for the smaller shows or the more chill shows. When we're doing like a big festival, we usually don't do those songs. So it's really not that big of a change. It's just not what we usually present. So I'm excited to do it because it feels like comfortable territory for me. A little bit of a change for sure, but not too much of a stretch really.
Awesome. Well, I'll look out for that.
Thank you.
And the Indie Fest, that happens every year, yes?
Not exactly every year. Usually every year, but there have been some years that we have skipped, you know, for things like cancer and other things.
Right.
But it's
just
usually
little things
every
like
year.
That.
We're coming
yeah.
up on Indie Fest 10, though, so this is going to be a special one.
Awesome. And when is that?
That's the last Saturday, possibly last Friday and Saturday of
yeah.
March.
March 20, yeah, March 26th, maybe March 25th and 26th. That's TBD.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, ladies, I really appreciate you taking time to share your story, share about the video, share what you're up to.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Really inspiring. And seriously, Danielle, what you had gone through, both of, I mean, just what you've gone through in the beginning, trying to, you know, adopt a son or adopt a child, and then the cancer, and then the two of you going through all that together. I mean, just a phenomenal story of creating a family and really what it takes. I mean, having gone through my own journey, it's really hard when you want something so bad and it's just not coming to stick with it and to stick with it and to keep going. So just, I have a huge appreciation for that because it is not easy.
Thank you.
And 7 years, I mean, whew, I don't know that I could have done that. So it just is a testament to who you two are. And the video is gorgeous, and I'm excited to share it. And I will have the link to it on the show notes so people can find it. And I'll also post it on the Facebook page and my personal Facebook page, and definitely share. I mean, I have a lot of lesbian moms going to be so stoked to see that video.
I'm so glad. And thank you. And thank you so much for creating your website and your podcast, and I just love it, and I'm so excited that we finally found each other and we're able to do this.
So great. I'm going to have to tell, I'm going to call Kim right now. That's so awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. I look forward to meeting you in person for sure.
Definitely. And so is there anything you want to make sure to mention before we wrap up?
I would say if I had one more thing to say, just that right now from our own community, we have the chance to, if we get more, you know, if we continue to get people sharing it, this thing could go viral and it would be really powerful. And I feel like more lesbian families and same-sex families would also start to create things like this. And we could actually do something really, really kind of globally significant with this little thing.
Yep.
So I just want to say that for anyone who feels like they can take a few moments to not just post it on their page, but even send it to friends and say, hey, this is like we're getting the whole community behind this. We want to share this as much as possible. Anyone who can think of people who have friends in other countries, because we're starting to get a little bit of international press on it, it could be a really significant service to us and to our community to get it out there. So I would just appreciate that. We would both appreciate that so much.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you
yes,
for saying that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I do have
you.
Friends in other lesbian friends in other countries that would love to see this, so I will absolutely
awesome.
Send this to them.
And even people who we think, you know, would you know, get upset by it, you know, have
True.
An opinion, you know, make, you know, get in, it would be in their head and they would have to, you know, think about it, you know, and maybe be moved a little bit to question something a little bit more or beyond their normal internal dialogue. Even people,
yep.
you know, who are not lesbian or LGBTQ, you know, that's good too.
Yep. Good point. Excellent. We will definitely do that. Let everybody know where they can find you online.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, DanielleandTheMasses.com. And on Twitter, it's DLP and the Masses. And Facebook, it's / Danielle and the Masses. So we're great on social media. We'd love to hear from you. So please find us there and drop us a line.
Excellent. I will have those links in the show notes. Ladies, thank you so much for taking time to do the interview. It was really beautiful. I loved hearing your story. Danielle, I'm so glad that we connected. I had no idea that
yeah,
you were
me too.
That woman. So,
really. Yeah, and how, thank you. How old is your little one?
I'm still pregnant. I'm 18 weeks tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Exciting.
Thank you. I know. It took a long time, so I'm so happy that this is coming. Like you said, when you struggle for it, you're not going to forget any moment, right? You're not going to take it for granted, hopefully.
I really get that. Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Thanks.
That is awesome. What part of town do you live in?
I'm near State.
Okay, so we're close to
El Dorado. Yeah.
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 That's
yeah,
awesome.
For sure. Definitely need to connect. That would be amazing.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. It was really nice talking to you.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
indeed.
Too.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay,
right,
you too.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, sister.
All right, everyone. Was that amazing or what? What a story. Definitely check out the video. It was so, so cute and so well done. You are going to love it. You're going to share it with everyone. So on that note, have an amazing Thanksgiving. Be extremely grateful for all the many blessings in our lives. I know sometimes it's easy to take them for granted, but wow, when you really think about it, there's so much to be grateful for. So encourage that. And if I don't do a show before Miss the Christmas holiday, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate, happy holidays to you and happy new year, and have a good one. I love you, and we'll talk to you next time.